thank you for joining today's conference. The times are changing. This event is currently being recorded. At this time, all audio is on mute. Today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements. All statements made that are not historically facts are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to ARS most recent outlook and ARS website for important legal and legal disclosures and information. With that, I'll turn the call over to Michael Shannon, Senior Partner.
Thank you very much, Barbara, and welcome to our listeners. We're very happy to have this opportunity to let you have our most current thinking as to what's going on with the markets. With me, of course, is our founder, Arnold Schmeidler, who will be fielding the questions for your pleasure. Number one, Arnold, following a very strong year for the U.S. markets, why do you remain positive about the investment outlook for 2020?
Thanks for the question, Michael. Welcome to all of you. It's a pleasure for us. A great opportunity to share our thinking with you on this call. Now, the answer to your question, Michael, why do we remain positive about the economic outlook, the investment outlook, is because this time is really different for all of us. Number one, we have record low interest rates. Number two, there's a fair amount of disruption. We talk about our latest outlook, which is titled The Decade of Disruption. When you have disruption, it is our professional obligation to look at who benefits from that disruption and who doesn't benefit, and our investment strategy and philosophy is always to own the beneficiaries of change. The investment outlook is really different because we've never had a period such as today with record low interest rates, rising earnings, and very low inflation, if not deflation in certain areas, which are secular themes. So, for example, if we look at European interest rates, which are largely negative, and you realize that in the past few weeks, the actual value of bonds that have become negative has gone from something like 13 trillion, 11 trillion to 13 trillion. So this kind of an interest rate structure, which is embedded in our economies, it has been with us for quite a while throughout the decade since the financial crisis. And the Federal Reserve, our Federal Reserve, has committed to maintaining low interest rates for this year, at least for this year. In fact, we might even see yet lower rates as we've seen over the past few weeks. Under these conditions, the determinants of common stock valuation are always the combination of the outlook for interest rates, inflation rates, and corporate earnings. And the investment outlook for us is not a case of trying to gauge or guess what the stock market's going to do. We don't do that. The stock market is really a medium of exchange. We're always looking for the companies that benefit from the secular trends in the outlook and invest in those companies, looking always to maximize earning power, cash flow, dividend income where it's important. And today, dividend income is more important than it's ever been because interest rates have never been higher than they are today. So we are very positive on our ability to find the companies that benefit from the trends, and our responsibility and challenge is to define the trends.
Arnold, technology disruption has been a key theme for us for a few years. Why does that continue to be a theme for you?
Technology today has been rapidly moving from where it was many years ago, and the ability to solve complex problems has never been greater, whether it's in communications, whether it's in healthcare. And I would remind you that back in 2016, the sequencing of the human genome cost $14 million. Now it's less than $1,000. breakthroughs in technology using sophisticated technology are going to continue to transform healthcare. They're going to transform how we live, mobility, and will continue to be a major element in increasing lifestyles, increasing the ability of older people to function in a better manner than they've ever functioned before. And therefore, technology disruption is something that we look at as a positive, knowing that we have to avoid the negative implications of the changes that come about through technology.
Why are the shifting demographics so critical today? And what are the implications for the economy and client portfolios?
That's a great question, because we have an aging population. And as you all may be aware, it came out recently in the press, we're all living longer. Well, so when you have an aging population, and we have combined that with technology, the ability to not just treat problems, but eliminate the causes of health problems, we believe that the demographics suggest that as people get older, they can become more productive. As they become more productive, standard of living goes up. The ability to earn increases. That means the ability for state, local, federal tax receipts to rise as consumer spending from that segment of the population increases. And so shifting demographics suggests that there are important benefits combining the technology that is available and that will become increasingly available to make a much more productive older generation than we have ever seen before.
Climate change is an emerging secular theme. Please share your thoughts about its impact going forward.
The climate change issue has manifest opportunities. The requirement to bring forth more alternative energy. We have to get away, as you all know, from using carbon as much as we can. Alternative energy is a big requirement in our country, among other places. The fact is that we have three grids. We don't have a national grid. We have three grids, California, Texas, and the Eastern Grid. And the ability to bring surplus solar, wind energy from one part of the country to another is not able to be done effectively today. So in order to make that effective, the utilities in this country are spending hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 3-4 years to improve the grid, the transportation, the transmission, and the grid, which has to operate 24/7, not only with the growth of the cloud, but also with the requirement that 5G is going to come into the system. 5G will increase network speeds, as you probably know, as much as 100 times. 5G will require a lot more energy. So the big investment opportunity is to find the companies that benefit from the expenditures of hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 4 years in order to get the electrical grid up to being able to employ all the alternative energy that we can produce, plus increasing demands for energy. And again, technology is a key in being able to do this.
In our most recent Outlook publication, we discuss investing in companies which have embedded advantages. What exactly does that mean, and why is it important?
In order to be an effective technology company, it requires a great deal of capital spending. Just to build one fabrication facility for a semiconductor producer can cost as much as $15 billion. There are very few companies in this world that can come up with the ability to invest that kind of money over a 3-year period to be able to be competitive. And those companies that can't do it are not companies that will have the embedded advantages, and therefore the cost of competing becomes prohibitive. That means the technological changes, the requirements for technology, are going to become increasingly expensive, and the fact is that the use of this technology will be more and more employed throughout the globe. Now, coming back to an important issue for the grid and the issue of technology disruption, we have, with climate change, these are all very linked, but with climate change, we see migration of populations, we see destruction of land areas, and that requires investment in moving people to different places, repairing. It requires a broader focus on the areas that are damaged by climate change in order to repair those and to resettle populations and also to deal with the problem of food availability. So all of these tend to be linked very closely, and the companies with the embedded advantages, these companies tend to be leading companies to begin with. They're very well capitalized, very well managed, but where they have increasing revenue, cash flow generation, and whose valuations are not reflective of what their outlooks are over the next period of time.
What questions are we in the firm asking ourselves that our clients are not asking?
What is the implication, for example, if we solve many of the health problems that we have today? The United States spends about $3.5 trillion on health care every year. Our government is running a deficit of $1 trillion on the federal side. If we can save a significant amount of the $3.5 trillion that we spend, let's say through breakthrough technologies in healthcare that treat causes, eliminate causes rather than treat symptoms, we could easily see ourselves saving several hundred billion dollars on an annual basis. This gives us a financial outlook because we have these large fiscal deficits we're all concerned about. This gives us a financial outlook which can be a lot brighter considering how much of the $3.5 trillion we can send through technological advances. Now, if we invest more, we will then generate greater amount of funds. And the greater generation of funds suggests that financial obligations on all levels will be made more easily handled. Government finance today has the lowest interest rates, both here and abroad, that we have ever seen. So we have the capability, we in the United States, to generate large amounts of investment capital to deal with the $4+ trillion of infrastructure needs across the board, and it just takes decisions to do that. Now, it's now being done on the state and local level, and so we expect capital spending on the corporate side, the state and local level side, to be increasing and to be employing the leading technologies to deal with all of these problems. And therefore, it comes back to the original point, why we remain positive about the investment outlook. Our business is to research the beneficiaries, and once we isolate the beneficiaries, we have an opportunity to build capital for clients. And last year was a very interesting example because we had any number of companies that had embedded and have embedded advantages, which acquired other companies. And the acquisition activity today is going to be no less, in our view, than it has been in the recent past. And there's a great deal of cash that's available for acquisitions, and that is available to be financed at extremely low interest rates. So we don't lack for capital to take advantage of the opportunities that we see now.
Arnold, I'm sure that one thing our listeners are concerned about, as we, is the horrible pandemic that's being rolled out, I hate to say, in China. Could you comment on possible ends of this, or how you feel it determining itself?
Well, historically, if you go back to 2000, 2002, when we had something not so dissimilar, the fact is that it put pressure, short-term pressure, on the market, and that short-term pressure was, by definition, relatively short-lived. When it ended, the markets had a very significant recovery each time. So for us, if this turns out to be tragically much worse than it is and puts pressure on markets, then we look then for opportunities to take advantage of that. Now, bear in mind, pressure on the market doesn't mean pressure on every business that's traded in the market. The fact is that there are certain beneficiaries who will continue to be beneficiaries, and some of those beneficiaries are in the healthcare sector. And the healthcare sector today is working 24/7 on treatment, vaccine, et cetera. And the fact is that when we look at, again, technology, key element in coming up with solutions, the real issue for all of us is not will this damage the markets for a long, long time, but what opportunities then get presented because of the pressure on the market. And you can see very easily how there will be beneficiaries, and those are the companies we want to continue to focus on and do research on. So this is temporary. If we have cash available, which we have set, we have raised actually over time, then we will be in a position to take advantage of the opportunities that are created. But these opportunities will tend to be somewhat short-lived.
I know that you have often spoken about the best opportunities come when feelings are most negative in the markets, and heaven knows that is the case today. Do you see the same kind of outlook?
Yeah, actually, you're in an auction market. We live in an auction market. So when sentiment is very negative, that's when the opportunities are the greatest. It's also, by definition, when most people can't take advantage because of their emotional reaction. They don't take advantage. They can't take advantage. They are happy. We tend to be happy when we're buying, when things are going up, and we tend to be wanting to sell when things are going down. That's exactly the reverse of the way we need to think. We have an advantage being investment advisors and managing other people's money, that we get away from that kind of damaging emotion. So we like to buy when there is weakness, and it's better for us to sell when there is strength, which is exactly the opposite of what we tend to do as individuals, rather than have an independent arm's length decision to do that and avoid the emotional damage that causes us to join the markets when they're going up and join them when they're going down and wind up without the success we otherwise could achieve.
Arnold, I thank you for your help with this. We thank the listeners. And we urge you to give us a call with questions that you would like to have. Time didn't permit that here, but we were always happy to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This concludes our conference. Thank you for using AT&T Event Conferencing and have you. You may now disconnect.